Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, Billy Vasiliadis joins us. And among the topics, the Whittemore trial, the government shutdown, and will Hillary run? It's all coming up next on the all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Play the hottest slots in video poker only at the Tamarack Junction.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
As a Nevada business owner, you know how important your workers' comp, accidents, and premiums are to your bottom line. Pro Group provides the leading workers' comp programs in the state. So when we're on your team, your hard-earned dollars stay right here in Nevada. With us, your premiums are an investment in your business. We provide long-term security and stability for your company. Pro Group prides itself on being a Nevada business that does business in Nevada. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
What has the massive Tahoe Reno Industrial Center contributed to Northern Nevada, and just in the past few years? Well, they're home to 130 industrial companies, manufacturing, distribution, clean energy, occupying over 12 million square feet of industrial space, and employing over 6,000 Nevadans. That's incredible. All in less than 5 years. And with over 100,000 acres to go, we're just getting started. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
Play the hottest slots in video poker only at the Tamarack Junction.
This segment is brought to you by Hutchison & Stephan, a full-services law firm with services such as business and commercial litigation, government relations, and election law. More information at hutchlegal.com. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome back to the program Billy Vasiliadis. He is the CEO of R&R Partners and probably one of the most influential people in state politics. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Pleasure to be here, Sam.
Yesterday was not a great day. You were in the courtroom. We're taping this on the morning of October 1st. Yesterday, you were in the courtroom for the sentencing of Harvey Whittemore. Give us a sense of what it was like to be there.
Well, it was very difficult for me. Harvey and I have been friends 35 years. He was just out of law school, and I was still in college when we met. We worked on Bob Rose's governor's campaign, and we stayed close that whole time, very close to his family. He's been very close to mine. As you know, we've worked together, but it's been more of a personal relationship. Been watching a friend of 35 years go through that, and worse, the kids and Natalie and the family. It was difficult, and I think he's holding up strongly. I think that he is looking for the opportunity to be able to feed his family as long as he can. He's had some financial troubles that everybody's aware of with the economy, and he's very focused now on continuing to fulfill his obligations to the best of his ability.
It's interesting because the rules have changed dramatically since the occasion for which he was tried. And now he could have written a check to a PAC for that amount of money with absolutely no problem. And yet the law did not give him any benefit there.
No, and that issue was raised yesterday by all sides. And I do think if there was a probation case, and listen, Judge Hicks, I thought, did a very fair job. He was painstaking in explaining his reasoning, and I think, you know, Northern Nevada should be proud to have a federal judge like that. He was very, very fair. But if there was a case for probation, I think because of the fuzziness of all of these election laws, because there's been, I don't want to say there was a arbitrary prosecution here or selective, but there's cases on both sides. There's people that have been let off, people that have been, you know, fined heavily. It's just so murky, the whole election process and contribution process. I thought there was a good argument for probation. Obviously, the judge disagreed.
What alternatives are left?
Well, obviously he can appeal based on the points of law that his defense team raised, to see if the Court of Appeals finds any merit in those. Obviously, again, as I said, you know, before, he's going to work hard to try to be able to continue to represent clients, practice law, et cetera, because he needs to support his family, and now he has to pay a fine.
And does his law license come into jeopardy because of this?
It's hard to say. Apparently, there's some self-reporting that he is doing, but you know, he's not serving yet, and so will they allow him to practice? Will they allow him to practice during the appeals process? You know, it's a decision for the bar. But my understanding, there's a lot of attorneys that have been convicted of something but have not harmed their clients or have not violated, you know, the canons that are allowed to practice during some time periods. So hopefully with some restrictions he'll be able to allow to again, to earn a living.
Will there be an opportunity for good behavior to be able to get that 2 years even reduced?
Yeah, I think there is an opportunity to reduce it. There's an opportunity for him to be in a halfway house in Reno. Again, we're all hoping it's way down the road.
Okay, let's take a break and we'll come back when we talk about other stuff. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Play the hottest slots in video poker only at the Tamarack Junction.
Very little happens without trucks. In Nevada, professional truck drivers move 94% of all of our freight. Today, we'd like to recognize our master truck drivers, those individuals who have driven more than 1 million miles or 10 years accident-free. These professional truck drivers are among the best of all drivers, dedicated to safety on our roads and highways. We'd like to thank them and all of America's professional truck drivers, because trucking moves America forward.
When it comes to state-of-the-art energy, Nevada is the right state to be in. A reliable, efficient network. Cleaner energy resources like solar, wind, and geothermal. And technology that will help you save energy and money at home. Learn more at nvenergy.com.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Play the hottest slots in video poker only at the Tamarack Junction.
This segment is brought to you by Hutchison & Stephan, a full-services law firm with services such as business and commercial litigation, government relations, and election law. More information at hutchlegal.com. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Billy Vasiliadis. He is the CEO of R&R Partners. As we sit here speaking, the government has now been shut down for quite a few hours. Your thoughts on this, and who are going to end up being the winners and losers of this?
Well, my thoughts on this is they better be careful, because we may figure out that we don't need them to be open. You know, we're the losers. The American people are the losers. The fact that our government our two branches, our two houses, weren't able to come together for our best interest, for our security, for the services needed by veterans, for the services needed by small business people who are in the SBA process that are going to employ people. We're the losers. Who wins? I don't think anybody can win from this. I mean, there might be some... Somebody might take heart in that 4% more people blame Republicans or 7% than blame Democrats, et cetera, et cetera. But at the end of the day, the American people are now fundamentally believe that our politics is broken. It's fractured, it's shattered. And I think that leadership across the board needs to recognize that and put it back together again and get our confidence back. I know I should be more partisan about this, and I know I should be blaming, you know, John Boehner for this. But at the end of the day, our entire election process is flawed, severely flawed. The way we fund campaigns, the way we reapportion is severely flawed. And unless there is a dramatic attitude towards reform, this is going to continue. We're going to continue to appease the extremes instead of actually getting stuff done for most of us Americans.
Can you look back in time through your career, or maybe even previous, to a time that was similar to this?
No, I really can't, because I guess we could say that the shutdown 17 years ago was similar to this. But at the end of the day, I think that President Clinton and Speaker Gingrich and others were scared off by the idea of government being shut down. It was something that caused them great fear, and they weren't looking to see how political victory. I think that the political victory that the Democrats gained, marginal though it was, wasn't the purpose of Bill Clinton sitting down with Newt Gingrich and getting something worked out. And so, no, I don't think I've seen this before. I think we're continuing to see this polarization in American politics. A lot of it, I was listening to President Clinton the other night, due to reapportionment, due to the fact that we've got these incredibly safe Republican seats that they're only worried about appeasing the right-wing Tea Party base, and to give equal time, incredibly safe Democrat seats where they're looking to appease the left-wing base. So nobody, and that's where they raise their money, and that's how they win their campaigns, and no one's sitting down and working out their differences.
Isn't this a time when the president should be sitting down in front of the American people and demanding that they have...
Yes, I think the president should be calling on the American people to demand. I was a strong supporter of Barack Obama's. But if there's something that I think the president left behind in his campaigns was his mobilization of the American people, especially the American youth. And I think this is a time where he should be rallying the youth from around the country to call their congressman and call their senator and say, you know what, we're not going to vote party. Two more days of this, we're going to vote all of you out.
One of the things that really would make a difference is if we could get more people to vote in primaries, so that you don't just have the extreme partisans deciding who the candidates are going to be, but you have a chance for other candidates to be in play.
I think voting in primaries is absolutely a must. And frankly, I also think getting more people energized to vote on things they care about. Great example. Background checks for guns. We have these polls that say 73-74% support some sort of background checks for guns. Yet at campaign time, those folks around the country haven't won their elections because it's a passive approach. Meanwhile, the strong Second Amendment guys, the NRA people, they turn out the money, they turn out the votes, and a minority continues to rule on that issue as well as many other issues.
Switching topics here, is Hillary Clinton going to run?
You know, she hasn't called me, Sam.
Yet.
There's an interesting reluctance that I'm sort of observing in the Secretary of State, and even in President Clinton. I don't want reluctance, maybe isn't the right word, but I think, you know, she sort of reminds me a little Barbara Buckley when she left the speakership and left the Assembly. Everybody thought she was going to immediately run for something, and I've seen her many times since then, and she seems extremely happy. I've been watching Secretary Clinton on some talk shows and doing some interviews. She seems relaxed. She seems calm. You know, I think she's probably really struggling with the idea of, do I just throw myself into the Clinton Initiative and the foundation and do the good stuff that Bill's been doing, or do I put myself back in the rat race? I really thinks she's struggling with that decision. If she does get in, I think she'll be a prohibitive favorite.
It's interesting to see Chelsea being pushed to such prominence in the last couple of weeks with the Clinton Initiative.
It's in the genes. I mean, she's got, I think Chelsea actually has the best of both parents. I mean, I think she's got Bill's sort of quickness and sharpness and his thirst for information and for data collection and analysis. And yet I think she's got her mom's focus and ability to really concentrate and really break things down. I think Chelsea's got a heck of a future.
All right, let's take a break. More with Levy when we come back.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
Very little happens without trucks. In Nevada, professional truck drivers move 94% of all of our freight. Today, we'd like to recognize our master truck drivers, those individuals who have driven more than 1 million miles or 10 years accident-free. These professional truck drivers are among the best of all drivers, dedicated to safety on our roads and highways. We'd like to thank them and all of America's professional truck drivers, because trucking moves America forward.
Evergreen Carpet Care is the leader for Northern Nevada carpet cleaning services, and here's just a few of their satisfied customers to tell you why.
I love Evergreen Carpet Care because of their great service. They did an awesome job on my carpet and my upholstery, and I love the way they called me back. They were very professional, and I would highly recommend them.
I called Evergreen Carpet Care to come in and do a thorough cleaning, and after they were finished, I was absolutely amazed. The carpets actually look brand new.
For the ultimate in carpet cleaning and more, it's forever Evergreen.
Sleep on a new Tempur-Pedic or iComfort mattress for less than a dollar a day. That's right. Our 36th anniversary financing is back. So, for a limited time, get these shocking low payments on Tempur-Pedic and iComfort mattresses. And 0% interest financing until 2019. Plus, you'll get free same-day delivery. Tempur-Pedic and iComfort for less than a dollar a day. Our 36th anniversary sale is back. Sleep more at more furniture for less.
Moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life.
Here I come.
Take time to be a dad today.
Daddy, I'm gonna find you.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Billy Vassiliadis. He is the CEO of R&R Partners. Senator Reid, the ultimate fighter, is making it very clear that he intends to run for re-election. Brian Sandoval is a very popular governor, but if he decides to go up against Senator Reid, which seems likely, this will be one of the ugliest races of all time.
Well, I'm going to take a little bit, dispute a bit that it seems likely. I don't know the governor as well as a lot of people do. But this governor seems to be more grounded in sort of what he wants. He seems to be more Nevada-faced than a lot of other public officials we have. I don't think for the sake of career jumping or office jumping, he will lightly make a decision to leave the governor's office and more importantly, to leave Nevada to go back and join the mess that is Capitol Hill. So I'm not as certain of that. Will it be an ugly campaign? It'll be a spirited one. As you know, as the state knows, Harry Reid is a fighter. He was a boxer. He boxed till the 12th round, and he'll fight politically till the 12th round. And I wouldn't bet against him.
And one of his closest friends is Manny Pacquiao.
And one of his closest friends is Manny Pacquiao, exactly.
And with the incident with the refereeing at the recent Mayweather fight, Senator Reid had certainly words to say about that.
Yes, he did.
You know, it's interesting when you talk about Governor Sandoval, sometimes what would have appeared to be a weakness for him turns out to be a great strength, which is the number of jobs he's had. You know, one could look at it and say, well, gee, you know, this guy's had every job, you know, assemblyman, gaming commissioner, attorney general, federal judge. But those turned into being great strengths for him, because whenever you ask him a question, he says, well, when I was in the assembly, I would have looked at it like this. When I was a federal judge, I would have weighed it like that. It seems like he's been on a career path that keeps rising and rising and rising. So that's kind of why I think that that's still the plan.
Again, I don't know that that's the plan. I'm not saying it's not. I don't know. I'm not in the governor's inner circle. I do believe that. But first of all, part of the reason why I think the governor's career has gone the way it's gone is he didn't jump elected office. He wasn't in a constant state of elections, which I do think tends to tar someone a bit. He was a federal judge. He was a regulator of the state's most critical industry. So I think that gave him a gravitas that's a little different had he gone assembly, state senate, you know, lieutenant governor. I mean, just kind of climbed the political ladder. Secondly, there are a lot of ways for the governor to get to be in a federal position. I think the governor would be sought after, especially if there was a Republican administration, to be a face of that administration. As Republicans are looking to reach out to Latinos and create a little bit of hesitation before Latinos vote Democrat in the ballot box, a guy like Brian Sandoval could be a heck of a weapon for them. And so I think, again, I wouldn't be sold that this governor is already planning his Senate race.
Who are the Democrats going to put up against him?
For governor?
Yeah.
You and I have heard the same names. I mean, Steve Sisolak apparently is still mulling it over. I don't think he's precluded it.
Doesn't his private life kill him?
Steve's?
Mm-hmm.
Nah, I don't think so. I mean, I think...
Really?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think that probably what hurts, I shouldn't say hurts, but what keeps Steve deterred the most now is I think he found out the hard way being chairman of the Clark County Commission is a full-time job. And so I think that he has gone from... You know, from water issues to transportation issues, now the metro funding issue to budget issues to employee negotiations, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't know that he's been able to get above water to take a look around to see what he's going to do next. You know, Tick Sagerblum, I think Tick would probably just, you know, consider it. I know he's considering it. But I think everybody's looking at this, as you said before, he's a popular governor. You got to look at the numbers. You got to look at what this governor may or may not be vulnerable on. And as of today, he's not very vulnerable.
You mentioned Tick. Is anybody enjoying their legislative career more than Tick Sagerblum?
Nobody has enjoyed anything more than Tick Sagerblum has, and you have to love that. I mean, he's an iconoclast. He says what's on his mind, and I think that's one of the reasons that Tick keeps ticking.
One of the things that I find interesting, and it's fine if they want to do that, but it's not good for my business, is the governor doesn't do interviews in this forum. We haven't seen it. He's done them in the past, but he's not done it for a long, long time. Aaron Bilbray, running against Joe Heck, nobody's been able to get her to do an interview. Is that okay?
I think that we would need to apply two different standards here. I think the governor, anybody elected to public office, anybody who has filed in the middle of a in an actual campaign needs to respond to the press personally. I'm not a big believer in spokesman saying and all that. I think that in the years in the ancient days when cavemen were running and I was their campaign manager, one of the things I insisted on is that they respond to the press themselves. Governors from a more cautious generation of politicians. Aaron Bilbray, I think you guys have been a little hard on. I mean, I
haven't
think
said a word about her.
Some of your colleagues have been a little. One colleague in particular has been a little hard on. This is the time for discovery and campaign preparation. I mean, you know, your colleague, Bully John O'Segura, into going on a show, and it took O'Segura 2 months to recover. I mean, I'm a big believer also that these candidates need to be prepared to come on a show like yours, because you're not going to say, hey, what makes you so swell? You're going to ask Aaron Bilbray, what would you do different in a government shutdown than has been done by your colleagues or your potential colleagues? And I think she should have some time to prepare, and I think the time will come for her. For sitting elected officials, I think they need to be on shows like this and to be responding to the press.
And the thing that's ironic, as I mentioned earlier, is that Governor Sandoval, you cannot knock him off message. Mm-hmm. He is terrific at doing the interviews.
He
uses every part of his career to be able to promote what he's doing. So I think that
I think you should call my partner Peter Knott and ask him why he's not advising him better than he is. That's what I would do.
I will make that call a little bit later on. Let's change to gaming here. We've just got a couple of minutes left here. The Cosmopolitan, mm-hmm. Stunningly successful restaurants, nightclubs, the highest ADR on the Strip. And yet they can't fix the gaming side. You know, Luxor had that problem years ago when they first opened because you had to go down into the gaming area. Is there a fix that you could recommend for Cosmopolitan?
You know, Sam, no. I mean, I don't know better than those guys do. I will say this. Cosmopolitan, I think, is probably the emerging generation of Las Vegas casinos. I hope it doesn't take too long to emerge to that point. If you look at the Venetian as an example, they figured out a way, and I think, you know, at the time when Sheldon built the convention center, people scoffed at him.
Oh, yes.
Well, it was a heck of a revenue source and a heck of a source to drive his room rates and his room nights. His casino play, from my understanding, is probably 30-35% of his total revenue. So he's not a casino monster the way he is in Macau. But he found a formula that captured the emerging Las Vegas visitor. Wants entertainment, wants good restaurants, wants good shopping, and then he was able to capture the business traveler with a convention. I think the Cosmo's got the right idea. I think they're probably skewing too young right now. They need this generation to emerge and spend more. If they can hold on, I'm confident they'll be able to turn a corner.
Did you ever think there would be a time when you'd say that a visitor to Las Vegas was skewing too young? That's where we got to leave it.
No, I didn't.
Come back soon. We'll be right back on the Bad Newsmakers after this timeout.
Great news. The housing market is improving, and now Fannie Mae and most major banks are allowing streamlined short sales with no documentation, no hardship, and full debt release. Call me today for more information.
We have 2 kids, 3 jobs, and a lot going on. It's not easy, but we always have food on the table and shoes on our feet. We find the time to do what we got to do. Luckily, we have our health. We don't have health insurance, and that's what makes me nervous. If something were to happen, you know, I don't like that feeling.
The new health care law requires all of us to have health insurance by 2014. Nevada Health Link is here to protect you from a fine on your taxes by helping you purchase state-approved health insurance plans that are high quality and based on your income, regardless of a previous health condition or the amount you pay. Learn about the changes now by visiting NevadaHealthLink.com or by calling 855-7-NV-LINK, 855-768-5465. Plans will be available for purchase starting in October. Learn about the changes now by visiting NevadaHealthLink.com. Sponsored by the state of Nevada.
It's free for a limited time only at Ashley Furniture Home Store. Get up to $1,250 in free furniture. Plus, get interest-free financing. Buy this living room today. Get up to $1,250 in free furniture. Or get a free HD TV. Plus, we are so confident you can find a lower price. We guarantee to beat anyone's advertised price, or it's free. Only at Ashley Furniture Home Store.
I've specialized in helping homeowners recover in Reno since 2008, and I've never charged homeowners for any of my services. So if you ever have any questions at all, call me today, and I'll be glad to help you out.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. On next broadcast, Republican kingmaker Sig Robich will join us. We'll see you then.